should I participate in the outreach ministry of my church? You know, as I have done study in the course of my ministry, I have found very little in the Bible that tells the world to come to church. However, I have found a whole lot in the Bible that tells the church to go out to the world. Today, Jesus makes it crystal clear to his disciples who are following him to put others first and serve them. And in reality, that's what GROW is all about. GROW is about putting the people of our community before ourselves. GROW is about having the desire and the will to serve our neighbors the good news that they have a Savior who loves them, a Savior who died for them. GROW is about helping people see that they have a place right here in their own neighborhood where they can worship God, where they can deepen their relationship with God, and where they can serve God by serving others. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, to Jesus, and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want for me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. You will indeed drink the cup that I drink." No, I'm sorry. "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them then, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And then the 10 heard it. The other 10 disciples heard it, and they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Pastor Ed Young tells us that the ring is the thing. Say that with me. The ring is the thing. The ring is the thing. He also says that the thing is Jesus Christ. This ring represents Jesus Christ. This thing, Jesus Christ, is the Son of Man who came to give life and to rescue many. Now, this thing is attached to a rope. This rope is the hope. Say that with me. This rope is the hope. The ring is the thing. This rope is the hope. And this hope is attached to Jesus Christ. The hope is attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this rope is also tethered to the church. The thing, Jesus Christ, is attached to hope, and it is tied to the church. The rope of hope is attached to Jesus on one end and the church on the other. You see, God Almighty has strategically placed you. God Almighty has strategically placed me in this community, surrounded by people who are drowning in their sin. They are drowning in their sin, and they have no hope of survival without Jesus Christ. They have no hope of survival without you. They're drowning, and they have no hope of saving themselves. They've got to grab hold of the ring. They've got to grab hold of Jesus, their life ring. Now God says to the church, pull. Say pull.
Pull.
Say it louder.
Pull.
Pull. So the house will be full. Amen. Say that with me. Pull. So the house will be full. The ring is the thing. The hope is the rope. And we've got to pull. So the house will be full. God says pull people in to Jesus. Folks, people are drowning. They're dying daily without Jesus. They're dying daily without any hope. And if they're going to be rescued, you and I have got to pull. Pull so the house will be full. Why should I pull? Why should I grow? Why should I participate in outreach? I'm going to give you four easy reasons today. Four easy reasons why you should grow. The first of which is, grow promotes unity. I read about a four-year-old girl who was listening to a sermon one Sunday morning, and she heard the preacher begin to explain how God wants us all to be unified, how God wants us all to be focused on the same goal. He said, God wants us all to be one. And the little girl looked at her mother and said, I don't want to be one, I want to be five. You know, it's always so much easier just to do what we want to do. It's so much easier to seek a deeper life within the church. It's so much easier to be what we call a navel-gazing church. It's so much easier to begin to be an inward focusing church. But it's hard work telling people about Jesus. Sunday school is easier than telling people about Jesus. Missions are easier than telling people about Jesus. Children's ministries are easy. Maybe not. Children's ministries, I think, are easier than telling people about Jesus. It's not that those things aren't important, because they are. All those things are great. It's just that they're not the thing. The ring is the thing. Rescuing people who are drowning in their sin. Pulling on the hope, which is the rope. That's the thing. And every single person in our church, whether they be members or whether they be regular attenders, all should be part of the pool to bring people to Jesus. It's hard work, but we should all be pulling on this rope of hope. Can I say that if we're not pulling our weight, if we're not pulling and doing our part, then you're missing out on the whole reason why you're here. You may already be saved. You may be already assured of your place with God. But how many in our community have no hope? They have no rope because we haven't tossed it out there to them yet. Matthew 23, verse 11 says that Jesus spoke to the multitudes who are following him and to his disciples. And he said, "He who is the greatest among you will be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Can I tell you that the very foundation of unity is humility? Are you willing to humble yourself before the other guy? Are you willing to be a servant? Are you willing to humble yourself to be a servant? Are you willing to humble yourself to serve other people and risk becoming great? Are you willing? I read about a man who went to an asylum for the criminally insane. And he got there and he was surprised to find there was only 3 guards to care for hundreds of inmates. And he said to one of them, "Aren't you afraid that the inmates will unite and overcome you and then escape?" And the guard said, "Lunatics never unite. It's always about me, me, me." Did you get that? Lunatics never unite. But grow promotes unity. Grow promotes unity in our body, in this church. But in a similar fashion, grow also fosters teamwork. Fosters teamwork. The story is told of a little child in an African tribe that wandered off into the tall jungle grass. All the tribe searched all day long for this precious little child. The next day, after the child couldn't be found, they met together and they said, "We got it. Let's hold hands together and let's walk through the tall grass. We'll find her." And sure enough, they found her. But she didn't survive because of the cold night. And the mother, in her anguish and tears, cried out, "If we'd only held hands sooner." We need to do that. Teamwork. Unity. We all have the same goal here. We all have the same goal, to see the truth of God's love be made known to anybody that'll receive it. Anybody. But it's not enough to just share the common goal. We all got to work together to accomplish it. And if there's only a handful who are working together, then the walk is hindered. It's held back. Because we all, say all, we all have to walk together. We all have to grow together. And you know, it seems like all believers share in this common goal. All believers seem to want to reach people for Jesus. All believers want to get the good news out. Until it's time to come together and do it. Then it's not near as important, it seems. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you." Did you notice that before there's any disciple making, before there's any baptizing, before there's any teaching, there's got to be a whole lot of going. Amen. The command is, "Go, therefore." Go, therefore. And in the original language, that means as you are going.
That means as you are living your Christian life, as you are doing church, as you are living in this community, as you are praying for your neighbors, we got to be telling people about Jesus. Pastor Ed Young says, I think it's about time that we get our ass in gear. Amen? As you are going, as you are doing this, as you are doing that, tell other people about Jesus. Grow promotes that kind of unity. Grow fosters the teamwork that will get that job done. But grow also individually imitates Jesus. Albert Schweitzer said that example is not the best way of teaching. It's the only way of teaching. What kind of example are you being in this telling people about Jesus? If our young people were looking at you as an example of how they should tell people about Jesus, how would they see you? What would they learn? How effective would they be? And believe me when I tell you this, that I've had to chew on this all week long. And I wonder, even if they watched me, how effective would they be? But in Luke chapter 22, Jesus asked his disciples this question. He said, who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves him at the table? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. This is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, the King of glory, who has come to earth out of the glory of heaven to serve. John also wrote about the time that Jesus put his servanthood into action. You may remember, he knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that he was on his way to the cross. And he rose from the supper table and did the unthinkable. He took a towel and he wrapped it around his waist and he began to wash his disciples' feet. And in verse 12, he tells us that after he washed their feet, he sat down again and he asked them, do you know what I've done to you? Do you understand what I just did? You call me teacher and Lord. And for so you well say, because I am. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so you should also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. An example of that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. My question to you is, who is your master? And are you following your master? Participating in the Grow Outreach Ministry ain't glamorous. In fact, I would encourage you to leave your dignity at the house. Because when we come here, it's not about you. It's all about them. So leave all about you at the house, because Grow is about serving the Lord by serving the lost. Serving the lost who quite possibly may have drinking problems. Serving the lost who may be in broken homes. Serving the lost who just might be struggling as a single parent. Serving the lost who may have only their needs met, by God. But the Bible teaches us that the self-giving, self-sacrificial love of Christ compelled him to go to that cross. Are you compelled to follow him? Are you compelled? Do you feel like there's just no other option for me? I've got to follow him. He's my master. I've got to follow him. I'm compelled to. And it's interesting to me that Jesus did this. He was compelled to go to the cross for me and you while we were still dead in our trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2 says it this way, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. What is a trespass? Does that mean keep off my property? No, a trespass is a way of expressing our rebellion. A trespass is a way of expressing our disobedience to God. And you need to know that your trespasses and my trespasses didn't just injure our relationship with God. It didn't just hinder our relationship with God. It absolutely destroyed our relationship with God. We were dead. But guess what? He rescued us. He rescued us. He threw us a life ring. Gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He rescued us. The thing is the ring. Amen. And the hope is the rope. Had Jesus not paid the price, me and you'd still be dead. Dead. But by the grace of God, he did save us. For by grace you have been saved. And grace in the original language is the word charis. And charis is the word that we have derived into our word charity. You see, true charity means doing or giving something to someone who is entirely incapable of paying for the gift. God gave his grace to us who are entirely incapable of repaying the gift. Jesus gave grace knowing we couldn't pay for it ourselves. And when we imitate Jesus, when he's truly our master, when we use the hope of the rope, we find that lives are saved. We find that people give their lives to Jesus. But let me tell you this, nothing will ever happen until we pull so the house will be full. Grow promotes unity that we might form a team. And grow fosters the teamwork that'll get the job done. Grow helps us to follow the example set forth by Jesus himself. But finally, grow will change you. Grow will change you. Richard Foster says, you know, there's a big difference between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. When I choose to serve, I retain control about who I'm going to go see and when I'm going to go see them. But when I choose to be a servant, I give up all my rights. I give up all the control, just like Jesus did. You know, we can't be an effective part of the grow ministry until you and I understand the cost of commitment. I would venture to say that Jesus was committed to his mission, even unto death. How many of us can say that? That we are committed to the mission, even unto death. If you don't know what grow is, for the last 2 weeks we've been putting this in the bulletin. It gives you just a brief overview. And you know what the beauty about grow is? 1 hour a month. 60 minutes a month. 9 hours a year, because we don't do it when it's not daylight savings time. 9 hours a year to make a difference in the life of our community. You know, James and John asked in our scripture this morning how they might be honored in heaven. And Jesus told them both, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup of suffering that I'll drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of death that I'll be baptized with? And they said, oh yeah, Lord, we are able. We're able. But you and I both know that they were making empty commitments because they didn't have a clue to the cost of following Jesus. Do you understand the cost? Are you able? Are you willing to grow? Friends, I got to tell you that Jesus does live in our neighborhood. Everybody hear that? Jesus does live in our neighborhood. He lives in the form of that person who needs to be touched by you. Jesus lives in the form of that person who needs to be served by you. He needs you. Oh, how he needs you. Jesus said, inasmuch as you do it to one of these, the least, my brethren, you did it to me. Grow is the vehicle that we've chosen to touch those in our community with the love of God and to touch those in our community with the good news of Jesus Christ. Now it's up to you to get in the vehicle. Amen. It's up to you to pull on the rope of hope. To pull so the house will be full. The ring is the thing. Rescuing people is the thing. Rescuing people with the grace of God through faith in Jesus, that's the thing. The rope is the hope. Tethered to the church who is called by God to pull. This morning, after I pray, after the music begins, I'm asking every single one of you here today, without fail, every single one of you here today, to just step up to the cross. To come up to the cross to take one of these commitment cards off the cross. On this commitment card is a place for your name and your phone number. A box to check. Yes, I'll participate once a month for an hour. I'll commit to participate 9 times this year. Yes. And I prefer to participate either on the first Tuesday, second Tuesday, third Tuesday, or fourth Tuesday. It's your choice. Whatever your choice is. Or there's another box that says, I'm willing to serve anytime. I know there are many of you who will be here every time that we do the Grow Outreach Ministry. You can check that box. And there's also a place there that says, I cannot commit to participate at this time.
And you can check that box too if you like. And after you come down this middle aisle and you come by the cross and you get one of your commitment forms, take it back to your seat. And there's extra pens in the pews. Just fill it out. And then we're going to have an offering plate on the way out. And you can just place this in the offering plate. You ready to make a difference in somebody else's life for a change?
One hour a month. 9 hours this year. I don't know if it's too much to ask or not, but I know my master did it far more than that. Your commitment this morning is your offering to God. And if on the way by me, there's a decision that you're ready to make about your relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, I'd love to just show you in the scriptures what God says about eternal life with Him. If there's a decision you're ready to make about perhaps joining this fellowship, about anything else that's burdening your heart, you share that with me on the way by. It'd be my honor to have the opportunity to pray with you. You listen carefully to God. You let Him make the decision for you. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a joy it is to know that we can follow in your Son's footsteps. Lord, what a joy it is to know that we can be obedient by doing what He's asked us to do. What a joy it is to know that Jesus came that we might be rescued from drowning in our sin. What a joy it is to know that there's hope. Hope in the road. That we can be a part of helping people come to Jesus by just pulling them here. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, you make us committed to do that. And Lord, I thank you for this vehicle that you've blessed our church with, this Grow Outreach Ministry. And Lord, I just look forward to the fruit and to the wonderful harvest you're going to bring as a result of people's commitment, not to a church, not to a pastor, not to their wives or husbands, not to a friend, not to a church, but to you. Lord, I pray your will be done this morning for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.
Let's all stand.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary,
Before we go,